man.
Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent,
check,
creativity,
check,
determination,
check,
preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Yeah, baby!
That's a bunch of malarkey!
Welcome back to the spotlight, young man!
Brett Favre is... Brett Favre said, I'm tired of Brett Favre.
Border Battle!
Time for two more questions, guys.
I'm going to say something controversial.
That's interesting.
Death. Line up.
Line up.
That is B-I-G big for this football team.
Yes! Take that!
And Peyton Manning takes the knee for the third straight time, and that should do it, folks. The final score of Super Bowl 41, the Colts 29, the Bears 17, and look at the pandemonium from the Indianapolis sideline down here in Miami. Colts spilling onto the field. Oh, and there we go, the Gatorade bath for Coach Tony Dungy, and it's Mike Doss applying the Gatorade bath. Good to hear from Mike Doss tonight as the Colts are your Super Bowl 41 champions.
He has no chance.
I think we have a very good mix right now. I mean, the morning show does well, comparatively speaking, especially given what it has to go against. Ubers and I have done well, knock on wood, for 4 years. Common and Hartman have done okay, and Barrero is, in my estimation, the primetime player on our station. And cultivating a couple of kids in Sludge and Lake, and you know, we have the Vikings and maybe some things down the road, so I think we're strong right now.
He's the clown from Brown. He's the fourth in the North. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole.
Well, Wilbur, I sure am. Little of this, but a little of that. Maybe even a little emphasis on the lad. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. Ack-ack-a-dack-dack-dack-ack. Day number two of the Common Man induced batching it at 1314 Insane Lane. Baby brother Peter arrived in Washington, D.C. on schedule. No issues with the body
Deuce
clock.
Or baby brother Peter?
Baby brother Peter.
Okay.
No issues with the body clock, circadian rhythm, time zone change. He's up and at him. We, Deuce and I, is it called FaceTime? Is that what you do when you...
Yeah.
We FaceTime BBP. He did look tired, but I don't think it was the travel. It was because he had to get up so early yesterday morning to get on the flight. He had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because the flight left at like 5:30 or something like that. Meanwhile, Potato and some of the other mothers took advantage of, well, as long as they're going to be in D.C. for 3 or 4 days, we'll go to Nashville. So they're in Nashville right now and going to the Grand Ole Opry. You know, kind of a gal's vacay. So Deuce and I are batching it. And I cooked last night with the help of Ronald McDonald. And then I'll cook tonight with the help of the King. And then
I always love that
Wednesday one. With the help of Colonel Sanders. So, you know, that rattle in the pots and pans that I used to say was really, really underrated. I'm beginning to think it's overrated. It's really not that hard. So we survived. I'm still surviving on leftovers from Sunday. Homemade barbecue ribs.
Oh.
And cheesy hash brown potatoes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so good. And I wish you could talk for 20 minutes right now while I finish, but that's we know what happens then. Show morphs into the Tenor Fitzgerald, and then we're lowering the lifeboats, handing out the life jackets, and sending up signal flares on an SOS. When you do the Tenor Fitzgerald show, do you start with ABBA's SOS? That's the song you should start your show with. And then you could also...
Should I get some sound effects of flares?
Yes. And then the first segment, coming out of the first break, you should play Sting's Sending Out an SOS.
Great tune.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And so think of all... But those were... I would start your show with that is what I would do. By the way, while you were away, you got ripped.
Shocking.
Accused of being selfish. And I think they might either be onto something or on something. It was during the discussion, I don't know how we got into hand-washing or the flu. Remember last week, we talked about, and you said, not only do I turn the handles on the faucets with the paper towels, yeah. But after I wash my hands, I take that paper towel and I use it to open the door. And then someone emailed and said, well, that's selfish because now you've used that to wipe your hands and then you're touching the door handle with that one. Why don't you get a fresh paper towel, one that's dry, grab another one and open the door that way, that you're spreading the germs that you now have put on the paper towel and you're now spreading it to the other
people. Well, if you wash your hands as thoroughly as I do, there are no germs to be had on that towel. It's just water. That's the point of washing the hands to begin with.
Hold on a second. Take that, listener.
Box.
You boxed him up.
And if I was to now throw that away and then take a dry, I'm still using the same hand to grab the dry one, and now I'm wasting more paper towels.
Box.
Indeed you are.
Box.
Do you wash your hands after pumping gas, after touching that nozzle?
No, unless I got gas on me.
Yeah, but think about, still, when you're how many different people have grabbed?
Sure, but you could say that about everything.
Right. But the gas pump handle bothers.
If you go in if you go into the gas
that's true.
You're gas station and
grab the door handle.
Not even the door handle, but let's say you pay for something, you owe $27 in gas, you pay $30, they give you $3 back. Mm-hmm. That money you're now being handed over is about as dirty as it gets. So you're gonna wash your hands after that?
Could you repeat that again?
You get gassed, because I know you don't pay at the pump, like the vast majority of people do. You have to walk in and pay cash. They say, it's $27.94, sir. You give them $30, they now give you $2.06 back in change. That money you are now handling, it's not like that's ever been washed. They don't clean the dollar bills or the coins.
Help me out with this. I pumped gas today, that's why I brought it up, just before I got here. And you're correct, I don't pay at the pump. Never have, never will. I like to go inside. I also was going to use, I checked my cash. I know it's going to cost close to $60 to fill my tank, right? I checked my money clip. I've only got like 52. So it's like, well, do I go 52 or do I go ahead and fill it up to $58, $60? And then may as well, because I want to go to the ATM, I need to have, I got to have walking around money.
Yeah, Dark Star.
Matt Burke walking around.
Well, that too.
I don't know, will the ATM give me $4,000 or $5,000? Because according to Matt Burke, that's walking around money. Well, I don't think the ATM allows $4,000 or $5,000 withdrawals. I think the most you can do is $300. But I was going to go in, so I pump my gas, I walk in, and somebody's working on the ATM machine. So they got the hood open. It's like they're working on a car, changing oil. So I know I can't use it. So because I do carry a credit card for emergency purposes, I was able to swipe it. I don't have the chip. I never swipe it. I think they think I'm they look at me as like, is this Rip Van Winkle? Did he just wake up? Because I have to ask him how to use the credit card machine because I don't know how to do it, right? But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What if I only had that ATM card, not enough cash to pay for my gas, and I go, I don't know what to tell you. You're the one working on the ATM. You didn't tell me. Would they have to give me my gas for free? Or would they trust me to come back, take my name, rank,
serial
number? I'm
sure they take your license. They take your ID.
Yeah, because it's not my fault, and I don't have time to go running over to another ATM, go withdraw money, and come back. So have your ATM operating, or let me know ahead of time. So it didn't happen, though, but those are the things that keep me up at night. This is what was
bothering me. Well, I'd like to think that if you have a card that can take money out of an ATM, that card would also work.
Do you think it would? I don't know if it does. See, I've never tried it. I've only used it to withdraw money from an ATM. So maybe it does.
Is it set up to your checking account? Like when you're putting the...
Well, we have separate. I don't know.
But is it a check card?
No, it's I withdraw from my
credit
savings
card.
Account. I don't know. No, it's an ATM. I don't know what it is. I just know I stick it into an ATM. I type in my code, and then it asks me how much money do you want, and I say yeah. And it says, do you want a receipt? No. Do you want to check your balance? No. And then I punch it. Will you pay $3 for the withdrawal? Yes. And they give me my money, and I leave, and my card comes back up.
I'm going to assume that card would work.
Now.
With the cashier.
Here's what bothers me. I'm going to make a complaint about TCF Bank, and I love them. I've been with TCF Bank since the Passbook Savings Account. I think I was the last person to have a Passbook Savings Account. It was either me or Grandma Mildred. One of the two of us were the last person to have one, right? And what it does, it gives you the money first, and then it waits like almost 10 seconds before it spits the card back out. And if you're in a hurry, and it happened, I told this story on the air, was like 2 years ago. I'm waiting for somebody in front of me at the TCF in Woodbury. She drives away. I go up there. Her card is still stuck in the thing. So I've got her card. So I'm thinking, I wonder how much money she's got and if I could get to an early retirement. So then you know what I did? I typed in her name on my phone, and her name popped up with her address. Now, that's frightening.
Sure.
And I called, and she answered. I said, were you just at the... I went, are you just at the... No. I said, were you just at the TC? Yes. I said, well, I've got your card. Oh, my God. Thank you. I'll be right there. She came back. Her daughter got out of the car to get it, and they were going to give me... I think she had like $10 she was going to give me as, you know...
Give me $20. Give me $20.
Yeah, as a
reward.
Yeah, as a gratuity.
Sure.
Yeah, as, you know, as a token of our appreciation.
Yeah.
And I said, $10? I could have emptied your bank account. I mean, you got a Benjamin there? You know, Benjamin might be better. And I just threw the card on the ground. And I tore off spinning the wheels. No, I said, the money's okay. I don't need it. But anyway, so that's the controversy that I faced today. But I've got... And here's the other one. They'll have the Purell. They now have them at a lot of gas stations where they have hand sanitizer at the pump. Well, most of them don't work anymore. Why did you put them there in the first place? And why don't you fill them up? You know what happened Sunday night? Went to a restaurant. Won't mention what it is. Sunday night, because it was the day before Pete and Potato were going to leave early Sunday morning. So I said, all right, I suppose you don't have to cook tonight. You know, let my wife off the hook. We go to the restaurant, walk in the bathroom. Looks like an Arkansas truck stop.
No!
I mean, it's disastrous. There's paper towels in the urinal. There's paper towels all over the floor. The garbage can is overflowing. Water all over the sink. It's splashing. They have empty toilet paper rolls. It's a disaster. And I went out and I looked at the waitress. Says, can I help you? I go, your restroom is a complete disaster. And I think he thought I was complaining because he goes, oh, and I go, no, I'm not complaining. I just thought I'd let you know so that you can take care of it because no one's told you. So then Pete and I leave, and then Pete says, let's go check and see if they did anything. And they did, except the guy said, I ain't taking the paper towels out of the urinal. So he cleaned up everything else, but I think he left the paper towels in the urinal for somebody else, which gets me to another controversial urinal question. And it has to do with the Green Bay Packers. I'm so bitter about last night. We'll talk about that. There's much to get to today on the Common Man program here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
The first 15 minutes, I turned to my wife, I'm like, I don't like this.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
You're listening to The Fan.
Programming on The Fan today is brought to you by my friends at Jaffe LASIK.
Here we be, a couple 13-14 pass on the Common Man program. I knew it. I don't know why I did it. I should have waited. It's similar to my last Blandon's Blundering Bets. I don't know if we're getting to that today, if that's going to be tomorrow.
But no, yeah, it'll be today.
I said, everything tells me to bet on Verlander against Chris Sale. If Chris Sale can't beat the Minnesota Twins, how can he beat the Houston Astros and what's Verlander's first name?
Justin.
Justin Verlander in a playoff game. Now, it's at Fenway. Verlander's a bulldog, great playoff pitcher, but you know what? I'm still going to bet against my gut and bet on Chris Sale. What happens? Chris Sale gets beat. Verlander guts out another brilliant performance, and I lose. Same thing. The reason I bring that up last night, I tell myself, don't do it. Don't tweet out. Not yet. Just wait. Because you never know with number 12. And I don't remember exactly when I tweeted out. I don't know if that was after, like, Rodgers got sacked and they had to punt and it was really late. But I really thought, well, I'm going to do it because I really wanted. And then sure enough. No! And you know what's really annoying? And he confirmed my suspicions. Did you watch the game?
Well, so I had Wild Fan Line.
Oh.
So I didn't get to see a whole lot of the game. I was doing Wild Fan Line in studio here when there was just a couple minutes left in the game. So we had it on.
Did you hear the interview with Rodgers? That's
no,
what I wanted.
I did not.
So when they get the ball with a minute to go and no timeouts, they hand off to some dopey running back or a tight end playing running back.
Yeah.
And he stumbles and bumbles his way for like a 15-20-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I look at Deuce and I go, how do you allow a guy? They're playing for overtime. They were playing, and Rodgers admitted it. Because not Tafoya, whoever it is that's doing the sideline reporting, asked him after the game.
Was it Susie Colbert?
No. When you got the ball with 1-on-1 to go, what were you thinking? He goes, he's thinking overtime. But then when what's-his-face got 10, 12, 15 yards, we just said, let's try a couple of plays.
Sure.
Who did they play last night?
San Francisco.
San Francisco's their own worst enemy, as well as they played, or I think we're also finding out Green Bay's not a very good football team. I mean, they have a terrific quarterback, but defensively, I mean, they let the Beathard guy, he's all right. I mean, there's worse, right? If I had a choice between you and Beathard, I think I'd go with you or Beathard by a hair, right? And they were gouging Green Bay and running the football. And they played really well and had a chance to win. But stop the guy from running the ball and you go to overtime, then I've never been a Dick Sherman guy. Never have. I mean, I know he's really good. There's something about him that's always bothered me. And I don't mind guys that are cocky, because he's as cocky as they come,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he is.
I don't mind that. You can back it up. I kind of admire that in people. But the announcers claimed, and I think they were right, he said, get out of the way. I'll cover, what's 17's name?
Devontae Adams.
I'll cover Adams. And, of course, on a third down in which Rodgers gets sacked.
Third and 15.
Yeah, and it's going to now be fourth and 20 or whatever.
Sure.
And they're going to have to go for it because there's nothing left.
At that point, I'm not sure. I was doing the show, so I'm not sure of the exact details. They might have just let the clock run out at that point.
That's possible.
Right? And why?
He grabs. No, this was.
This is earlier?
Yeah, I think this was even earlier.
This is the touchdown drive?
I think this might have been. I don't remember anymore. It's all a blur. It's like a hangover.
Because they scored with 1:55 left to tie it.
But Dick Sherman. No, Dick Sherman is called for a penalty for like holding or illegal hands.
Yep.
And he was the guy that's, get out of the way. I'm covering Devontae Adams because I'm the man. What an awful penalty. And they showed it and it was blatant. It's grabbing him and holding him and trying to drag him to the ground. He's not even a part of the play. I wasn't bitter. Oh, because it was going to be so delicious today. We'd be right now getting ready to do green and gold grieving.
Gosh.
It was going to be so good.
How many times would we be hitting the delicious button today?
And then, the idolization, does anybody else get tired of it? We've talked about this so many times. And not just in Rodgers' case, but in Brady and all the, you know, those handful of guys. Does anybody get, here's what the announcer actually said. When Green Bay came back to try to drive for the tie, right? He goes, look who's trotting out. And I look at Deuce and I go, well, of course he's trotting out. He's the starting quarterback. He's already trying to make it mythic before it's mythic. Look who's coming out. Well, of course he's coming out. He's the quarterback of the team. There's a couple of minutes to go in the game. Who else is going to come out? Are they going to go with backup guy? Look who's trotting out. They do it for all of these guys. It's just, And I guess it's good for, you know, what's good for Goose is good for the gander. They know that if we pump this up and make these quarterbacks mythical, like they're Odin in Zeus and Thor, people will want to watch more. No, people are going to watch anyways. We know how good they are. Most people watching are fans of the game. It's not like you're getting somebody that's, I've never watched football before. Who is this number 12? They know. We know. He's won games. And he didn't do anything that many other quarterbacks can't do either. Matter of fact, he made some bad throws. He also took a couple of bad sacks. I mean, he's not perfect, but they make it seem like he's Midas. And they do it for the other guys, too. But they go over the top for him. And it's like, all I know is, if you're looking, you check the record, Tenneby. Over the past 4 or 5 years, who has more fourth-quarter comebacks than any quarterback in football?
Probably your guy. The
guy's name is Matt Stafford. They call him Matty Ice. So he's done it more often than that. Now you can say, well, it's because Rodgers is ahead all the time because he puts a point. Touche.
Sure.
Tucci. I get that. But he's not the only guy that has rallied a team back on a final drive in a game. It happens. A lot of guys do it.
And he's really good.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, maybe one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, he was 1-2-1 before last night, and he's been to one Super Bowl appearance in his career.
That's hard to argue. Fitzmagic was leading Tampa Bay back to two comeback victories in the first 2 weeks.
You're right.
So let's just stop with the nonsense. How do I tease this? Vikings' next opponent is the New York Jets, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's stirring the pot about Kirk Cousins in New York.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to get a rude welcome when we get there. I'll explain when we come back to the Common Man program here on The Fan.
Apparently, he has all the answers. This is the Common Man Dan Cole on The Fan.
Programming on The Fan today is brought to you by Twin City Honda Dealers. The Wedding Guys have partnered with AAA Travel to bring you the ultimate $10,000 honeymoon giveaway. To register and find out more at KFAN.com. Keyword contest.
Jeremy, do you like Colin Hay and the Men at Work? Or is it, nah?
Well, other than this song and Down Under, what else have they done?
Oh, my word. Seriously? Really?
Yeah.
You don't know any other songs but Men at Work?
No.
It's a mistake. Not what you just said, but that's a great song by... Why can't I remember? Now you got me. Now I'm bitter.
You can't even come up with a third song?
Well, no, I know him. I just can't. I was just so stunned by your reaction. Men at Work, rock
Safety
band.
Dance is one of their best songs.
You're right. Safety Dance. No, that was Safety Dance is one of their favorites. One of their best of all time, as a matter of fact.
You can tell you the other three that are in the system.
Oh, Overkill.
Overkill's in there.
Play Overkill right
What's
now.
What's that one?
This is their best song. You've heard this, right?
Let me see. I think so.
Oh, it's... Oh, you have to have heard this before. This is from... this is 1983. I can't get to sleep.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tune.
I would say 1983, and it went to... I'll say it went to number two. I'm going to go number one. I bet this song went to number one in the Billboard Hot 100. I mean, when Men at Work first burst onto the scene in the 80s, they were huge.
You should have stuck with the original.
What was it, two?
Number three.
Number three. Is that what I was going to go with?
I thought, I said three.
I did.
Number three in 1983.
Yeah. I was close. Matter of fact, If I would have stuck with my original, I would have been right. And if I would have stuck with Verlander beating Sale, and if I wouldn't have tweeted, before I should have, a lot of things could be different in my life.
They like the saxophone in their songs, huh?
Yeah, they do. A couple of emails for you. Before I get into, it's going to be controversial in New York. They're going to be going after Kirk Cousins hard. This emailer says, this is from Lori. Common, I love listening to your stories. And she has love capitalized and underlined.
Yeah, baby.
I think I could listen to you read a label on a cereal box.
That might be a good segment someday.
I might try that. I do have that. I do have a sort of mesmerizing delivery and a way with words. And of course, I have no switch. So it doesn't surprise me that I get that email from a damsel in distress. This one says, hey, Common, from your esoteric approach to sports, to your pioneering approach for embracing the biblically bad, you have almost single-handedly carried KFAN on your back for 25 years. I heard the podcast of your show, and you were speculating that the higher-ups may be plotting against you. I had a paranoid day yesterday, Tennessee. I was paranoid. You were gone, on short notice.
Really wasn't short notice. I just forgot to tell you.
Oh. Well, but I didn't know that, so I thought it was. I thought it was all a plot. Henry Lake fills in for me. You're speculating that the higher-ups may be plotting against you to replace you with the Lake Show. Say it ain't so, Joe or Larry Moore, Larry Curly or Mo. If the Chad Abbotts of the iHeartRadio world know what's good for them, they better keep extending that obscene, the ridiculous. Okay, the generous contract of the Common Man. As far as golfing in the sideways snow yesterday, I don't think the heavy stuff was going to come down for quite a while. I did play in the snow. Just a couple of emails, messages from some flounders. Handheld computer doubles as a communication device, Tenneby. I stumbled across this story last night when I got home. It was about a 10:30. Hold on. Give me just one more second, and I'll get the story for you. Here it is from one of my favorite publications where I get a lot of my prep work. It's called the New York Post, Tenneby. Headline, how sweet it will be for the Jets to shut up classless Kirk Cousins. Story by Mike Canizzaro. I think he's a gadfly. He writes, is there a Jets fan alive who doesn't crave seeing the Jets? Stop sending me ads until I'm done. I'll buy whatever you want, but read this first. Is there a Jets fan alive who doesn't crave seeing the Jets defense dismantle Kirk Cousins and the Vikings Sunday at MetLife Stadium? And then ask the Minnesota quarterback this. You like that? You like that?
You like that? You like that?
Forget that a win over the 3-2-1 Vikings would be a third consecutive victory for the young upstart Jets, who would get to 4-3 and be in the thick of the AFC East race. The delicious byproduct... Should have had that.
Delicious.
The delicious byproduct would be sticking it to Cousins, who not only spurned an outlandish free agent contract offer of $90 million guaranteed over 3 years from the Jets in March, but then bragged about using them as leverage to up the Minnesota offer on a video that was posted for public consumption and, as it turned out, Jets embarrassment. In the video, Cousins tells his wife, Julie, that Jets came up to 30, fully guaranteed three-year deal. Her response, whoa. Cousins then said, so now we have what we wanted. Mike, meaning his agent, has to do the same thing with the Vikings. He's got to get them from 25 to a number that's competitive with the Jets' offer. But the fact that we have the Jets' offer is huge. Now it gives the other teams a reason to come up. End of quote. You remember that video?
I do. I saw it. It was very good.
The end game was the Vikings upping their offer from 25 to 28, which Cousins agreed to. That video, which contained information from confidential conversations that would be embarrassing to the Jets, was signed off on to be posted to the public is, if we're cutting the Vikings a break for being absent-minded, a clueless oversight. But if we're being more realistic, it was classless. At the very least, it was cringeworthy. Then this from Cousins in an interview about why he chose to sign with the Vikings. Here's the quote. Ultimately, the leadership of the organization is what set it apart. End of quote. Canizzaro goes on to write, how exactly he would have any clue about the leadership in the Jets organization is curious, because Cousins opted not to take a half day out of his self-important schedule to meet Jets owner Christopher Johnson, GM Mike McGannon, and or Coach Todd Bowles. So we left $6 million on the table to go to Minnesota. He chose the Mall of America over Manhattan. Olive Garden over, is it Il Molino? Must be a fancy pants Italian restaurant. Good for him. And good for the Jets, who are on a much better path, for now and the future, with their rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold. Sometimes the moves you don't make in life are the most important ones you make. Therein lies the three-pronged silver lining in this for the Jets. Had they signed Cousins, who owns a pedestrian 29-32-2 record as an NFL starting quarterback, they'd have never traded up to number three in the draft and picked Darnold. They wouldn't have had the truckload of salary cap money, which is expected to be about $90 million to spend this offseason, had they given all that guaranteed dough to Cousins. And Cousins was apprehensive about playing for the Jets because he was afraid he wouldn't be able to handle the pressure and the expectations of the New York fans and media. He was scared. Scared doesn't play well in New York. Never has. Cousins, it should be noted, is in his seventh NFL season and fourth as a full-time starter, and he has as many playoff wins on his resume as Darnold, who's played in six NFL games. Cousins lost both playoff games he's played in by a combined score of 55-32. And then he writes...
Well, there's that.
Well, he says, so there's that. How Would it be for the Jets to exact sweet revenge on Cousins on Sunday with Darnold, who is improving every week, outplaying the $84 million man? Revenge is a dish best served cold. The high on Sunday is expected to be about 52 degrees. Cousins fancies himself a player with a chip on his shoulder. In 2015, after he helped lead the Redskins to a 31-30 win over Tampa Bay after they trailed 24-0, he became best known for that rant in front of cameras that caught him screaming to no one in particular as he trotted to the locker room.
You like that? You like that?
The 75,000 or so fans who will be at the game Sunday will have a chance to show the chip on their collective shoulders and show Cousins what he's missing, other than the $6 million left on the table. When Cousins was about to sign with the Vikings, McCartney waxed on about how he was going to a place where people are Minnesota nice. Jets fans, if you have one task on Sunday, it's this. Show Cousins what Meadowlands nice is. Bitter in New York. That'll fire up the fan base, too, and they'll read this guy. Oh, yeah. Cousins will get an earful. Now, I don't expect it to alter his performance, but they're not forgetting in New York. And everything he wrote there is accurate, is it not? As a matter of fact, did Cousins talk about the extra added pressure in New York and there's less in...
I don't remember that part.
See, for some reason, and I don't want to say that he said that, but there's something about the Jimmy Johnson news conference, and there's something about that quote, or that, there wasn't a quote there, but that paragraph, it rings a bell with me, but I don't want to say, maybe it was a different story, a different player at a different time. But for some reason, that kind of, I don't know. I don't know if that's really what Cousins, and maybe one of our, I mean, we have listeners out there, members of the Tough Love Covenant, that remember everything. So I want to know if somebody can remind me of that. But obviously, the writer's a little bitter. And again, I know what these guys do. They're stirring the pot. That's what we all do. I don't know if he's really that upset. But he does.
Those New York columnists love to do the New York is better than Minnesota thing. Why would you go there?
Correct. And, I mean, the one part of it that I completely agree with, well, with a caveat, I mean, Darnold might end up being a bust, right? But the facts he put out about, since we didn't give the guaranteed dough to Cousins, we've got $90 million in salary cap money for next year, and it looks like we got a kid that might be pretty good. Now, again, Darnold isn't setting any records, but when he played against the Kitties, he looked like...
He was really good, yeah.
He looked like Joe Namath in his prime. I mean, he was carving up the Kitties. Now, I don't know what he's done since. He's got his team at 3-3.
Yeah,
so he must be doing some things well. And truth be told, I mean, where the Vikings are, I get it. You feel like your big game window is right now, right? But take that away, and let's say the Vikings were about where the Jets are, kind of in a rebuild kind of. Would you rather get young rookie quarterback? That, again, you don't know.
Sure.
You don't know, but young rookie quarterback that everybody's high on, or Kirk Cousins? And so if you're the Jets, I think it actually worked out for them. Now, maybe not.
Well, the columnist pretty much admitted that,
right,
which is why I kind of laugh at the bitterness.
I know, but you know, you thumbed your nose in New York.
How dare you turn down New York?
The city that never sleeps. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. A number one, top of the heap.
I also love his response to Cousins' leadership question, why he picked Minnesota over New York. He went to the leadership in the organization.
Right.
They went on this rant of, he never met with the Jets leadership, blah, blah, blah. Kirk has to say something to answer that question. He's not going to say, hey, I think the Vikings have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than the Jets.
Right.
Or, I like my weapons in Minnesota better.
Well, he should have said that, probably.
That would be what the honest question to answer is, but he can't say that. So he has to come up with some sort of cliched get around the answer without trying to offend anyone.
But do you think the leadership is more... Well, okay, that would be more offensive to the front office, whereas the other one would be the players.
Yeah.
Right. It'd be like, well, we just got better weapons than the guy.
Or you can't say, I'd rather live in Minnesota than New York.
Right.
Then you're offending the people, the fans.
Well, I'm on record right now, and if they want to podcast me in New York, go ahead. I'd much rather live in Minnesota than New York.
Oh, my gosh.
New York's an awful place to live. It's just awful. So,
what if you were making Mike Francesca money?
You know what? It's the city that never sleeps, and New York stirs the pot. Matter of fact, I'd be playing what's the New York song with
Jay-Z?
Yeah, is it Jay-Z and who else? What's her name?
Alicia Keys.
Yeah, see, I like that song.
It's a great song.
Yeah. So, well, let's play that coming out of the break.
I'd love to.
You know, why not? So they'll be ready for us in New York, in the Big Apple, Tenneby. The Big Apple against the Mini Apple. Sounds like I'm sneezing. Let's play!
Can I steal that for my tease on Sunday for the Vikings pregame?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thanks.
Big Apple versus Mini Apple. When we return, are we doing 5-3-4?
Oh, we are.
Let's do it.
Are the Minnesota Wild happy with their loss?
You're listening to The Common Man.
I know that there's going to be disappointment and maybe some anger.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on KFAN. The Fan.
Enter to win a 4-pack of tickets for a Pedal Pub tailgate before the Purple host New Orleans on October 28th. For more details and to register, go to KFAN.com, keyword contest.
Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make
it. Is this the guy that did Gangnam Style? Is this the same guy, Kanye?
This isn't Kanye.
Who is it?
Jay-Z.
Did Jay-Z do Gangnam?
No.
Is that right on TV right now? Is that him? Gangnam Style?
No, that's an actor.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, that was Gangnam Style guy. When are they getting into the part with Alicia Keys? That's coming up. Part I like.
That's coming up.
By the time Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings get done with the New York Jets, all the New York Jets fans will be doing is wondering what could have been. That's all they'll be wondering. What could have been had Kirk Cousins signed a $90 million guaranteed 3-year deal with the New York football Jets. Before we get into 5-3-4, you know, I'm finally, I think, learning my lesson, Tenneby, that there really are no guarantees in the National Football League. You look at the schedule and go, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win.
That's what's great about it.
The Jets game, that's not a gimme, is it?
No, of course not.
Because I thought Buffalo was a gimme. It wasn't. I thought Arizona was a gimme. And there was some nail-biting, knee-knocking moments in that Arizona game. I mean, I never felt like, boy, Arizona's about to win this game. But you were thinking, I got uncomfortable a couple of times. I twice tweeted, seriously, ... I was like, are we really allowing this to happen? From a 1-4 football team, and then we ended up pulling away. I think we had a couple of consecutive scores, and it worked out well. But I think we're going to have our handful with the New York football Jets. And someone emails, they think the Packers could be in for a rude awakening as well. Emailer suggests that Packers about to go 1-4 or 2-3 at best next 5 games and be out of the playoffs going into December. They could easily go 0-5 in their next 5 games.
Really?
Could they? Well, they're at the Rams. That's a loss. They will not beat the Rams. I don't care how good Green Jesus is. That's what we call him now.
Green Jesus?
Green Jesus. Well, that's what
the Packers are off this week.
Right.
Ooh, next 2 games are not fun.
At Rams, at Patriots.
I could see you going 0-2 there.
Home to the Dolphins.
The W.
At Seahawks, at Vikings.
They'll win at Seattle.
Bad. Seattle's not as bad as you think. And Green Bay, I really think Green Bay, they're more reliant on their quarterback than I think any other team in pro football.
Oh, yeah.
Any team.
There's no doubt.
Even New England.
New England has still been a competent team without Brady over the years.
I just think Green Bay is more than you pull him off. There were and that's a tip of the cap to him.
Yeah.
How good he is, but they were having trouble. By all intents and purposes, they should have lost that game last night to a lousy San Francisco club. So,
But we'll wait and see. Let's do 5-3-4 now, 10 to B, 10 to B.
Time now for five questions. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number one. Time now for an in-depth look at the state of the state of hockey.
Wild lost 4-2 last night in Nashville. You heard it right here on The Fan. Wild dropped to 1-2-2 on the season. But the head coach, Bruce Boudreau, despite the loss, was actually encouraged by last night.
I thought our effort was fine. That looked like the team I'm used to coaching, effort-wise. We made a couple mistakes, and when we did against that team, it cost you. So, but I thought... you know, like for a team that was pressing, we had the puck in their zone the whole third period. And, you know, like I said to the guys in there, I said, if you can continue to play like that, you'll win a lot of hockey games.
Kama, would you consider last night's loss to be a moral victory?
Well, it sounds like the coach is almost going with it. You know, the old, well, the effort was there. I that's another one of my, if we wanted to open Common Man's pet peeve shop, that would be another one. We hear that, well, that should be the least of the expectations. That should go without saying. As long as you're, here's what I'll tell you. As long as you're making the effort to drive to the arena, put the skates and the breezers and the sweater on, may as well make an effort. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Well, the effort was there. I would hope the effort's there. And money does have something to do with it. If this was like the olden time baseball days and olden time hockey days and old back in my day when these guys had to have jobs during the off season to make ends meet, I could see where you sometimes go, they ain't paying me squat. Why am I even bothering? Tonight I just don't feel like it. But when you're being paid untold millions of dollars, well, the effort should be there. I have a number of emails that I promised Wild related that I would bounce off the Jolly Green Giant, and I'm going to do that before the program's
okay.
Over. And we'll see if you answer with a forthright and educated opinion, or if you do your best Fred Astaire and start tap dancing around. We'll find out. But what was your question about that? A moral victory?
By the way, my favorite was the Parisi quote, which we don't have audio for.
Okay.
Here's what Parisi said about last night. I know we didn't win the game, but at least we were involved.
Yeah, that's
at least we're involved.
Yeah, it's astonishing to me, actually.
Question number two. It's now time to take an in-depth look at the welfare of the Wolves.
It gets real tomorrow night. Minnesota Timberwolves begin their regular season tomorrow night in San Antonio. And despite what's happened in recent weeks, Karl Anthony Towns is confident in the club.
You know, like I said before, I think that we come in here and have great practices. And we always have great practices, and the competition's high and the intensity's high. It's about just doing that now in a game and sustaining it for 48 minutes. So do I feel confident? Absolutely. I feel confident in the guys we have in the locker room. I feel confident in the competition that's here in practice. I feel confident in everyone's talents. So I feel very confident going in. You know, we just got to do what we need to do.
Common, are you as confident as the big meow?
Well... I really did listen to his quote. What did he say?
He just kept talking about how confident he was
in
the team.
I don't know if he really believes that. As we sort of talked about it last segment before we went to the top of the hour break and started 5-3-4 about some of Cousins' quotes. Well, what else is he going to say? You know, he's got to say this so he doesn't insult this person or, you know, doesn't come off wrong or whatever. And so sometimes these guys all get microphones put in their face and cameras and a guy with a notepad, and sometimes they just say things. So I don't think you're going to go, well, I don't really have a lot of confidence right now with what you said. You heard what happened in the practice and this and that and the other thing. I was waiting for a congratulations from you, by the way, for nailing it 2 weeks ago when I said that Jimmy Butler would start opening night for
the
Minnesota Timberwolves, that Tibbs had no intentions of trading him, much like Flip had no intentions of hiring a head coach other than himself. I think this will inspire Buckets because now he's got to also put up or shut up too, right? He'll really look like a stooge. Some people think he already looks like a stooge. He'll really look like a stooge if he starts throwing up bricks and doesn't play well and the team gets off to a sputtering start.
The team that needs him?
The team that needs him and they're not playing, they're going to go, well, I thought they need him. So my guess is he will play inspired. I would think if Big Meow, whether he really isn't engaged and doesn't play very good defense and whether Wiggins really isn't engaged, I would think after everything that's happened in the offseason and then what happened at the practice, that even they would go, I'll show you, which is what I think Wiggins, that was his intention all along when he did the blow up. Everybody said it was calculated. Well, yeah, it was calculated. People were annoyed and it was calculated. Of course it was calculated because he was trying to get these guys to rise to the occasion and play to their ability. We talked about this yesterday. Did you see that one of the most recent tweets from Big Meow? Instead of saying, really looking forward to opening the season at San Antonio, he goes, it's coming. Black Ops 4. He's excited that Black Ops 4 is being released. Now, guys have their free time. He doesn't have to eat, breathe, drink.
You can have more than one passion in life.
But when you signed the max, was it 190 he signed for? How much was that max deal? I'd be more excited about, I would at least let the people out there that are buying tickets, spending hundreds of dollars to buy tickets, in some cases thousands. I'd let them think you're more excited about San Antonio than the release of Black Ops 4. So I would hope it's an inspiration to all of them, and they should. I'm more confident with Jimmy Butler on the team than I wasn't. I got no issues with Jimmy Butler. Is he nuts? Yeah. A lot of athletes are nuts. So I like it. I think they're going to get off to a really good start. I don't know what the schedule looks like. I say they beat San Antonio. They'll win on the road. I don't have any issues that they'll win. Because they're missing, Kawhi's gone now, right?
He's gone.
Yeah.
Tony Parker's gone.
Yeah.
Who's the Argentina shooting guard, whose name is escaping right? They're all like,
Manute Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili, retired.
And think about this.
I haven't even heard from Tim Duncan all offseason, have you?
No. Duncan, they're not saying much about him at all, about the big fundamental. And then on top of that, Pop's going to rest four of his starters. So I have... They'll blow San Antonio. You heard it here first. They'll beat San Antonio by 20 points.
Oh, my gosh.
Bet.
And if they do win by 20 points, the following day you can go to PapaJohns.com, put in the online promo code WOLVESWIN, and you'll get 50% off a large or an extra large pizza.
You are correct.
Question number 3.
Well, the Wolves begin tomorrow night. The NBA officially begins tonight. You have two games going on, Philadelphia, Boston, and Golden State will host Oklahoma City. So, Common, what is your official prediction for the 2018-2019 season in terms of who will be in the NBA Finals and who will win it?
Seriously? Well, let's see. I'll go with Utah Jazz. No, I'll go with Death Lineup.
I always love that one.
And who do we like best in the East?
I'd go Boston.
Kyrie's right?
Back.
Yeah. And so, I'll go.
Gordon Hayward's back.
I'll go with Boston versus Golden State. And I think Boston can hang one L on them. Right? Think they can hang an L on them?
They can force a game 5.
Yeah, so we'll go Death Lineup 4-1 over Boston. Save the tape, would you please?
Do NBA experts even make NBA season-long predictions? Because, like in the NFL, every year someone's got to, everyone's got to throw in their predictions who's going to win, and no one ever puts the Patriots up there because it's just too boring of a pick. It's too safe a pick. They want to be the guy that picks the team that emerges.
Right.
But the NBA, it's so lopsided, you can't make those picks. Like, you can't do, I like Utah Jazz versus Toronto in the NBA Finals. Because then you look like a moron.
The only one you could do is maybe slip in Houston.
Maybe L.A. because of LeBron.
Right. You could do that, and you'd still people would go, come on. But you could go, well, I guess if things fell into place. But, yeah, it's death lineup against – here's what I'll tell you. I think it's death lineup against the Celtics in the final, and you're on your own after that.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar.
Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
Nationally, we're giving away a grand, putting it in people's hands. Tennessee, what did they do?
Yeah, we're trying to help you pay your bills by, of course, using the keyword bills. And that's what you need to do in the National Cash Contest. Listen to the fan all day for your chance to win $1,000 every hour. This hour, your keyword is bills. So text the keyword bills to 200-200. Standard data and message rates apply.
The Common Man.
I think he should be ashamed of himself. He does nothing. It's all talk.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Today is brought to you by Prism Research.
It's your man, a heating and air conditioning weather forecast. We're expecting partly cloudy skies today. High should be about 52 tonight, mid-30s for a low. And then for tomorrow, we're expecting mostly sunny skies. Yeah. High should be mid-50s by Thursday. We could be somewhere in the low 60s. That's what the Mercury should play tag with. Right now, the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, partly cloudy skies. It's 46 degrees. Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island on your home for the hits, The Fan. All that excitement, enthusiasm I had built by going basically like a phoenix. I riz-razz rose from the ashes, and then I think it all came crumbling down, much like the walls of Jericho. Was that, who did the walls of Jericho come tumbling down around, Tennessee? Do you recall? Was it Moses? Was it Hercules? Or was it the Amazing Spider-Man? I don't recall. Maybe it was Godzilla. Jericho. Does it say? Doesn't say who it came tumbling down around. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and I thought it was around a specific person. Maybe it was around everybody. They're awful big walls. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'd have to read.
Yeah.
Basically a Bible-length story to get the answer.
It's of biblical proportions. So anyway, let's go ahead, I guess, and do it. I've got to get this thing tried. You know what? I might have to really start just build. I'm afraid of losing my kids' education money, but I might have to really go big.
What's your philosophy, though?
Maximum risk, maximum profit.
Yeah. You haven't been doing the maximum risk.
No, you're right. I know.
Time now for.
This is why gambling does hurt some people. I'm the classic example, aren't I? Of the person that I just don't gamble responsibly.
You have no idea how depressed I would be if I was up $300,000 at one point and lost it all.
Well, to be honest, if it was real money, I may not have bet as much. The one bet I wouldn't have made was the $15,000 one. That was the one bet I wouldn't bet. I mean, I could, but I wouldn't. But if I was winning their money, I would keep. It's their money. I don't care. Why don't? Now that being said, if I'd got up to a couple hundred thousand, I'd have probably taken. I'm going to throw 50 in the bank. You know what I mean? I mean, I would stash some of that away, but I'm a maximum risk, maximum profit kind of guy. So go ahead.
I, of course, am not. I was down $181.64 going into the weekend's games. I bet on three football games. Bet number one, I had the under in the Bengals-Steelers game. That over-under was 51.5. I needed the total to go under.
First and 10 at the 31 of the Bengals. Then in the gun, 15 seconds to go. The Steelers have a timeout left.
Blitz is coming.
All here it comes. And a quick pop over the middle. Running free. That's Antonio. 10-5. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. You got to be here.
Oh, baby.
Unbelievable.
All out blitz. Ben Hot reads of ABJ.
coming from his left split end. He comes in motion, gets right behind Justin Hunter, and as the blitz comes, he shows a quick slant, and you live by the blitz, you die by the blitz.
And Pittsburgh lived by the blitz. They win 28-21. That was up, by the way, 102.5 WDVE and the Steelers Radio Network. 28 plus 21 equals 49. That means the under did hit.
Now what do you think? What do you think of that?
Also a close call on my Falcons minus 3 over the Buccaneers bet. Falcons had to win by more than 3.
This is going to be 57 yards for Bryant. It would be just too short of his longest as a Falcon. Snap from Harris. Spot Bosher. Try is away, and it is going to be good. Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Falcons Radio Network. 57-yard field goal gives the Falcons a 5-point win.
So,
what do you think of that?
That was the Falcons play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
He made it sound like, see, I would have thought he was the opposite guy.
I know.
Because I do
that's
that.
That's how PA would do a call.
Well, because, and I do it all, you know what? It's one of my favorite phrases, and I can't remember where I got it from. It was an animated cartoon. I think it was a Dr. Seuss one, I think. No, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Green Eggs and Ham?
The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the animated, the latest one where he would go, no, that wasn't where it was from. Anyway, when something happens that I don't want to, like, let's say, for instance, the other day, my elbow hit the coffee cup on the console in the middle of the and you know what I said? Of course it did. Of course it did. I mean, yeah. Why else wouldn't it? So I always do it. It's a negative connotation. It's when something that the last thing you'd want to happen, right?
Yeah.
You know, you go, well, of course it did because it's me. So I thought that was the other play-by-play guy.
That was a pretty low-key.
I should say, and he said it in a way, I was like, well, of course he made it. Why wouldn't he? Our team has always got bad luck. We're always behind the eight ball. The other team's got the horseshoe. Of course he made it. That was weird. But anyway, did you win or lose there?
I had the Falcons minus 3. They won by 5. I also had the under in the Baltimore Ravens-Tennessee Titans game. That over-under was set at 41.5.
How many bets do you make?
And Marcus Mariota was in trouble.
Marcus Mariota on 3rd down and 10. Pocket collapsing. He is going to be hit and sacked again. Za'Darius Smith with the 11th sack of the day. And with 4 minutes even, the Hayes in the barn.
The Hayes in the barn.
The WBAL, WIYY Ravens Game Day Network. Marcus Mariota sacked 11 times. They get 0 points. Ravens win 21-0, which means the under hits.
He wasn't sacked 11 times. That has to be a National Football League record. No one's been sacked 11 times in a game. Are you? Is that correct?
That's what he said. 11 sacks?
That has to be a National Football League.
Someone's had 13, 14.
There are teams that have never collected 11 sacks in an entire season, much less a game. Well, that's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard.
Didn't like Derek Thomas for Kansas City like single-handedly have like 7 in one game by himself?
I don't know. Maybe he did. All right.
So I won all 3 of my bets.
And today's Blandon's Blundering Bets
of course
total
you did.
Is at...
I'm up $348.67.
Of course you are. Yeah. And then what about me?
Well, I don't care about you right now. I'm back in black.
Oh. Metallica!
Here's what happened to you. You were up $111.24. And of course...
I beat you over.
You let it all ride. Well, all of it but 24 cents on the Boston Red Sox. In game one, minus 118 over the Houston Astros.
The entire time, all I did was tell about why I should be betting against Sale in 4 Verlander, and then I went and bet on Sale.
It's always wonder for a hitter. It's a ground ball to third. Bregman, he's been great all night, and it's fitting that he is the one to secure a game one win for the Houston Astros. A little James Harden to boot. A Euro step. And an exclamation point on a victory for the Astros. A 7-2 road win.
It's almost like taking a sharp stick and saying, you know, if I jab this in my eye, I might lose all vision in my eye, and then jab yourself in the eye. Why would I do something so stupid?
I don't know why you bet on that one.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the bet, but when I knew, I actually spent 45 minutes talking about why I should bet Verlander and should stay away from Sale, then I go, but I'm betting Sale anyway. And then here's the best part. League notes, Fish Wrap Factory, West Side, today. Sale out of hospital, headed to Houston. It says, Boston Red Sox ace, okay, Chris Sale was released from the hospital Monday, will rejoin the team in Houston before Game 3. Sale was released from Massachusetts General, where he had gone because of a stomach illness after pitching the series opener. He wasn't the only person sick to his stomach after that performance.
I always love that one.
So now that's his excuse. I had a tummy ache. I suggest Flecto-Bismol is what I suggest. So I have 24 cents now is all I have.
Today's Commons Blundering Bets total is at...
You're up 24 cents.
What did Parisi say? At least we were...
You didn't win, but at least you were involved?
I was involved. I made a bet. I didn't win, but I was involved, so I guess that's the best part of that. All right, what are you betting? Let me guess, you're going to do 9 bets today.
I know, you're ripping me for how many bets I'm making. I'm going to make 4 tonight. So
what are you making? Why don't you just take all that money and bet on one game and win it all without having to sweat it out?
Because in sports, they're not all predictable, and I'm not going to let a bumbling performance take away my entire bankroll. I like to spread it out a little bit and back myself up.
All right.
I'm going to bet Red Sox Astros tonight, Game 3. I'm going to take the Red Sox on the road. They are underdogs at plus 111. The starting pitchers for both teams are kind of trending in different directions. Keuchel for Houston has a 5.40 ERA in his last 6 starts. Eovaldi for the Red Sox has a 0.90 ERA over his last 4 starts. So I'm going to take Boston on the road in that one at plus 111, so $200 to win 222. 2 hockey games tonight. I'm going to bet the over in the Avalanche at New York Rangers game. That over-under is set at 6. Colorado scores a lot of goals. New York gives up a lot of goals. So I'm going to take the Colorado Avalanche. Excuse me. I'm going to take the over. 6 goals in that game. I'm about to make a bet. I hope I lose.
Huh?
I'm hoping I lose this bet.
That might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, preposterous thing I've ever heard. You're making a bet and you want to lose.
Well, because when I make wagers, I bet with my head, not my heart.
Why don't you just give me the money and then let me bet it? Because I'm low on dough right now. So you're betting against the Wild?
I'm betting against the Wild tonight. I'm going to take the Coyotes at plus 130. They're the underdogs here.
Oh, my gosh. Above average.
It's a $200 bet to win 260. Here's my rationale. Arizona's been off since Saturday. So even though the game is in Minnesota,
yeah,
it's almost like Arizona, from a travel standpoint, is the home team. Because the Wild are flying in from Nashville. They got in at 3 a.m. last night. Arizona has outshot their opponents 146-93 this season. So I feel like they're playing better than they've been rewarded offensively for it. Wild are actually the opposite in that category. And Arizona had success against the Wild in a couple games late last season. So I don't think they're worried about coming into the XL Energy Center. And they're the underdogs here. So I'm taking Arizona at plus 130. Plus, Darcy Kemper starts for Arizona tonight. Revenge game for him. And finally, NBA season begins tonight. Thunder at Golden State. I'm going to bet the under. The over-under total is 221 points. One, that's a lot of points. 2, Russell Westbrook apparently out for tonight's game. 3, there's bitterness because of Kevin Durant in Golden State. So all Thunder-Warrior games tend to hit the under, probably because both teams are actually motivated defensively because they want to stop the other team.
Correct.
So I'll take the under in that game.
All right, I like your logic. Meanwhile, I'm betting one game only, like I always do. I could let it ride with 24 cents, but it kind of takes the impact away a little bit. It's not quite as exciting. So I'm going to have to go into my bank account. And I remember, I don't have a joint checking account. This is out of my own savings. No, wait, we do have joint. This is my wife's money. Now I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
I better win. I'm betting $1,000 on Houston to win tonight. Straight up, Houston, they play at 4:09, so I'll know by the drive home, I guess. I'm taking the...
So right now they're at minus 129.
Yep. I'm taking Dallas Keuchel. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I'm going with Keuchel. Going $1,000.
So you're betting a grand? You're going to have a grand in your hand?
Yep.
That'll win you $775.
I like it. Let's do it. Better's luck next time. Now, when we come back, all sorts of people, by the way, have been sending me emails about saying, you got to see some of Colin Hayes solo stuff. I've watched all sorts of it. I'm a music aficionado. I host a show that hasn't started yet, but it's about to. It's called Rock Talk. When we return, Tenneby, I'm going to, I've got several emails I want to get to that are wild related, and a couple of other items as well. Other side of the break, Common Man program right here on the Fan.
When Mark Rosen appears on the program, it's brought to you by Inspire Therapy. Planning to head to the Friday football feast in Elk River? The Fan and Coors Light want to give you a shot to win the best seats in the house. Just tweet at KFAN1003 using hashtag MVPTable for your shot and front row seats to this week's feast with PA in charge.
Where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow.
Top 100. No, I'm just kidding. I do like Glenn Campbell, though. Tenneby, are you familiar with Goldie's Locker Room?
Yes.
Goldie's Locker Room, they sell gopher apparel and gopher novelties. You mean like a Big Ten championship? That would be a novelty. How about a road win? That'd be a novelty as well. You know, I really like this club. I think they're going to get things turned around after that moral victory.
A win over a ranked opponent would be a novelty?
Well, that would be a novelty as well. This email came in shortly after the conclusion of the PJ Flex Show today, reads as follows. Common, did you happen to hear PJ talk about how good Nebraska is? Thinks they should only have one or two losses. Okay. Nebraska hasn't won a game this year, signed hashtag faith. He's doing what all coaches do, and he's as good as any. He did it early in the year when they played one of the cream puff teams.
Yep.
Where he did the, oh, boy, this team's good. Experience, offense, defense, special teams. It's what every coach worth his salt. I don't know where that cliche came from. Could you look that up quickly? Worth his salt. I think that's a cliche. Maybe I just made one up. Maybe I was thinking about a salt lick for a deer. It's hunting season, you know. I'm going to do my hunting season rant one of these days, try to get the hunters going. In closed circuit to all hunters that are listening now, I just mean it good-naturedly. Knock yourself out. But it's still fun to do.
Worth one's salt. It means to be effective and efficient, deserving of one's pay.
Okay.
The origin is sodium chloride, a.k.a. salt, is essential for human life. And until the invention of canning and refrigeration, primary method of preservation of food. Not surprisingly, it has long been considered valuable.
Correct. There you go. So any coach worth his salt is going to build up the other team for two reasons. If you win, it makes your team look that much better. Boy, we beat a really quality club there. Offense, defense, special teams. They got the green cheeses on the team. That's what his name is. It's Green Cheeses.
Green Cheeses.
And not Green Jesus, but Green Cheeses.
Okay.
And if you lose, you go, how do you expect us to beat that team? Their offense, defense, special teams are real good. So, of course, he's going to say that about Nebraska. Build Nebraska up, particularly when they don't have a win yet. So you really, because, again, if you beat them, what are the negatives like me going to say? We're going to roll our eyes, shrug our shoulders, shake our heads, and say, it was Nebraska. And then if you do win, we're going to shrug our shoulders. It's easy to know win situation. We're going to roll our eyes, shrug our shoulders, shake and say, well, you should beat Nebraska. They haven't won a game all year, right? So that's why you build up Nebraska to be better than they probably really
now, what
are.
I love about PJ, and he did it again today, and it's not the first time I've heard him do it, he's still building up an opponent they've already defeated. He has mentioned multiple times how great of a win that Fresno State win was.
Oh.
So he's still talking about, you know, that Fresno State team's a lot better, you know, than people think. They're going to be a top 25 team at the end of the season. So he's still building them up, even though it's been a month and a half since they played them.
That was a big win, Tenneby. Do you know how good that team was? Hey, comment. Tenneby says he washes his hands so well he doesn't need a new towel. Does he wash his towels that he uses after a shower or a bath? Same concept, isn't it? If he does, he's a fraud. You're being accused of being a fraud. Do you wash your towels?
your bathhouse? Well, it's just water.
I don't wash them all the time.
And drying hands is the subject line. There's actually a class that most medical people go through in the early stages of learning where they are taught and graded on drying their hands. You can only use one side of the towel once and always wipe downwards. And there's a lot more, I'm sure, being I was only told about this from someone getting a CNA. It's not that complicated. It's not like shaving. It's drying your hands with a paper towel. And you only use one side and make sure you go up and down and not crossways. Here's the one that gets me. And this happened to me just the other day, speaking of being in a restaurant restroom. I went to the restroom and it said, employees must wash hands. I waited there for 45 minutes and no employee came in to wash my hands. Flop, Sweat, and Tears, Bogart's November 2nd. And at up in Monticello at River City Extreme.
Have you seen the stall in the men's bathroom here? Yeah, the larger stall?
I close my eyes when I go in there. But I don't use that.
There's like a little laminated sign that says, please do not put the paper...
I saw that.
the toilet paper roll into the toilet, which I'm thinking, one, you don't need to tell me that. Two, anyone that would do that isn't going to read that and go, I guess I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, that's not going to deter the person.
You're absolutely right. Well, I never use the restrooms on our floor other than number one. I never numbered, ever. I just can't. I don't want people walking in when I'm in there, coming, how's it going? And then they know it's me that's left that. Maybe they should come up with something called like, what was the name of the product?
Poopery.
Poopery.
There's actually some of it in there right now.
Maybe we should use some poopery is what we should.
Brilliant.
Is what we should do. The only reason I was in that restroom the other day, I was changing into my tuxedo for emceeing the Minnesota Boxing Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. This subject line says Tenneby the conservationist. Says Tenneby has just been nominated. No, not for the preposterous statement tournament. Tenneby has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for his extensive work in the conservation of paper towels. Sometimes the term hero is used a little too freely. But in this case, I can find no other word to describe the selfless acts of Tenneby refusing to use an additional clean and dry paper towel to open the door and instead conserving said paper towel by using the already damp paper towel he has used to dry his hands. Just through his fearless actions and his fearless work promoting such actions to some tens of tens of people who listen to the Common Man program, he has personally saved over 1/50th of a tree. Well done, young man. Welcome to the spotlight, and well done, young man.
I always love that one.
Common, yet another brilliant and bold take that the Rosens of the world would shy away from. Who says forcing people who don't get along to work together can yield beautiful results? Remember the album Rumors? The Timberwolves are the Fleetwood Mac of the NBA, with Jimmy Buckingham and Stevie Big Cat Nicks. Maybe the Wolves will succeed and be driven by the inner turmoil. When will the world recognize the Common Man's genius?
Brilliant!
From subject matter yesterday. Did you see that, though? Have you seen the latest on Fleetwood Mac? You know, they decided they wanted to tour again. And apparently Lindsey Buckingham said, well, can we wait a while? I want to finish up this other tour I'm doing with my solo band. By the way, I need some extra time off because when we're not doing our shows, I'm going to do solo stuff. They booted him out of the band, and now he's filed a lawsuit in federal court. He's suing the band for, you know, torturous interference, all that legal mumbo jumbo. And apparently it's Stevie Nicks who said, I never want to work with him again. And she's bitter, apparently, because they were at some Music Cares Music Awards, and she went on stage to talk, and he gave him some kind of a smirk. But he says, well, the smirk was because the others behind her in the band they mocked her some way, because anytime she talks, apparently, she goes on and on and on. But apparently, she's had enough of him. And if you remember, you know, they were an item for years. They were lovers. And so,
yeah, baby.
I, I don't get it, but apparently it's headed towards a a lawsuit. It's headed toward court. Here's the email, if I can find it, regarding your Minnesota Wild, Tennessee. And I want to tell me if this, we're almost out of time. That's good luck for you. He says, Common, the Wild are a cute little club, but are flawed in many ways. Number one, team speed. They have one guy who has above average speed. The NHL is dominated by speed, and it's one thing we have almost none of on our roster. Because we don't have a lot of time to get into it. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, and they used to be, I would say, 3-4 years ago. I thought they were one of the faster teams in the league. Clearly, they lost Eric Halla to a Vegas, which hurt a little bit from a team speed standpoint. But they've slowly, over the years, tried to transition from being a speed team to being a little bit more physical and being more grit and getting those types of guys. And I've always thought that was a mistake. But the problem is when they were a speed team losing in the first round of the playoffs, people did the old, we're not tough enough come playoff time. Well, guess what? Now we're a little bit tougher team, but we can't skate with a... This is the way the league's going. The league's going to speed. Speed and skill.
Number two, soft. They play soft. Nobody's afraid of getting hit by any of the Wild players. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
I think they could be tougher. I don't know if I'd call them soft.
Number three, no superstar. They have zero superstar players.
Yeah, they don't.
Four, playing the toughest division in hockey, top to bottom. We may be the worst roster in our division.
Arguably.
Number five, unproductive talent. For years, we've been hearing about Eck, Greenway, Coyle, etc., and none of them have developed yet. Greenway and Eck have both looked terrible so far this season, and Coyle plays well for 10 games and then disappears for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little different category of young guys. I'm going to give Greenway specifically a little bit longer leash than those other guys, but because we haven't seen... I still don't know if he's played, what? He's played 13, 14 NHL hockey games.
In conclusion, I don't see how this roster is currently put together makes the playoffs in the division we're in. They needed to tear the thing apart and start over, but it's going to be hard to do because of all the terrible contracts they're currently sitting on. It's going to be a long season.
It could be.
On that note, that cheery note, when do the Wild play next?
They play tonight, 7 o'clock, versus the Arizona Coyotes.
And you'll hear that game on this radio station. Yeah. Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We are back tomorrow at 12 noon. Mark Rosen will return in his regularly scheduled spot at 2 o'clock. But stick around. By the way, enjoy the rest of your day. But stick around. Dan Barrero, JG, they're next, right here on what we affectionately call The Fan. Adios.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.